Okay, Jimmy Dean Freeman, we're going to do a prediction. So we're going to hold you accountable. We're ready. Lay it out.
I predict that I will be an official finisher of this race.
Thanks for joining another edition of Trail Runner Nation. My name's Scott War.
I'm Don Freeman.
I am the SoCal correspondent, Jimmy Dean Freeman.
And with us as well is David Snipes, and I took the liberty of just getting in there and introducing him because, well, we didn't prep him. We just threw him on a line, literally, gathered him up with our Skype net, and there he sits hostage while we start this podcast.
Is he a runner, or do we just randomly grab him off?
Oh, no. No, he's
we
a runner.
We almost randomly grabbed Sweet Jenny. But we decided to go with David Snipes instead.
You know, Skype in all of its glory somehow has a directory out there. And Sweet Jenny 386 asked me if I needed somebody to talk to. And because I had Scott, David, and Jimmy on the line, I really didn't need to talk to Sweet Jenny. But should this fall flat, Sweet Jenny and I are going to hook up, and we're going to do a podcast.
Hey, Sniper, we are counting on you being a really interesting guest, and so if that crashes and burns, we've got Sweet Jenny 385 on deck.
386, brother.
386. Look, we threw 385 out the window. 386 it is.
She was not creative, and quite honestly, her voice was a bit low.
So this podcast is going to vary a little bit from what we've done in the past. This is going to be a, lack of a better term, we just came up with, a mini podcast that is to deal with Jimmy Dean Freeman's crazy running exploits this summer. He and Andy Kameda are going to attempt to do the original 600s, the original, a.k.a. the Grand Slam of Ultra Running. It is six races, six 100-mile races over a 13-week period. And what are we going to do, Don?
Well, you know, here's how we're gonna lay this out. We're going to learn something from Jimmy. We're going to let his feet teach us a few things, and we're going to follow him through. Here's what we're thinking. We're going to have him come on, and we're going to talk about his previous exploit, his previous race. What did you learn, Jimmy? What happened with this race, and what catastrophe can you identify for us? Now, if he doesn't have any catastrophe, then we won't have any place to go with that. But if there's something that happened to him,
there will be catastrophes.
So we're going to identify the greatest and grandest catastrophe of that 100 miles, and then we're going to solve that problem for him. We're going to reach deep into the resources of the community, and we're going to bring in the Sonny Blendays, the Phil Maffetones, the Mark Cucuzellas, the Sock Docs, the you name it, the John Vonhoff, and we are going to solve that problem for him. Then,
before his next race,
so it doesn't happen to him again, and chances are whatever happened to Jimmy probably has happened to us along the way. Then the next piece of that, we're going to bring on a guest. If he doesn't have a problem, we're going to bring on a guest that helps prepare him for the next one, as if he's never run the race before. We need to hear some things. What things should he look out for? How can he best prepare for this? And then finally the last piece from Jimmy is a prediction. Because we're going to hold him to it. We're going to actually replay that segment, his prediction, at the beginning of the next podcast. Now, Jimmy, I don't know if you knew about our plan for you, but that's kind of what we're thinking.
Sounds like a great time.
Hey, Jimmy, really quick, in 1 minute, describe what the Grand Slam of Ultra Running is.
Well, the Grand Slam is four of the original six 100-mile races. It's basically Western States in June, Vermont 100 in July, the Leadville 100 in August, and the Wasatch Front 100 in September. There's another series out there that has been known as the Last Great Race, which Mr. David Snipes here is a finisher of. In fact, the most recent finisher of. And that is all six of the original six, which also adds Old Dominion, which was the second ever 100-mile race. Or you can actually, we'll talk about this in a little bit, Old Dominion might have been the first 100-mile race. And then Angeles Crest 100, which was the fifth 100-mile race, which is the Southern California gem. So I realized I was going to do the Grand Slam of Ultra Running in Angeles Crest, and it would have been silly to do five of the original six. So I learned about the last great race and talked to Andy Kameda, who's attempted it before, back in 2007. And David Snipes finished it in 2011 and is the only person to have finished it with Angeles Crest right smack in the middle of it. And so that's why we brought Dave on today to help me figure out what the hell I'm doing. He also happens to be a Virginia native, so he's both a finisher of the original Six Challenge and the Old Dominion. He's very familiar.
And David, we're going to get you on in just a second, but I have a burning question, and that is, Jimmy Dean, why? Why are you putting yourself through six 100-mile races in literally a very compressed period of time?
Well, Andy Kameda was my original inspiration for it. I DNF'd Angeles Crest in 2007, and both Dave and Andy were there, and they both finished and decided that if I ever had an opportunity, I would do that. So Andy got into Western States this year. I got into Western States this year, and we decided we were going to go for it together.
So here's my question. Your first race is this weekend, which is the Old Dominion 100. And my question for David is, okay, David, you've done this. What advice would you give Jimmy the day before he starts his 100-mile adventure? What would you recommend to him?
The best advice is to just think about each race as they approach. Don't think about doing the last great race. Just kind of compartmentalize it and think about each particular race. And while you're in that race, just think about getting from one aid station to the next, and you'll get to the finish line.
If I may, let me read a few credentials from David, a.k.a. the Sniper. And I grabbed this online, so you're gonna have to help me here, David, if I leave something out. Okay. From Mechanicsville, Virginia, correct?
Yep.
How many 100-mile races have you done? Because I see here it says, why don't you give me the number? I'll confirm it, and I'll let you know if you're right.
It's somewhere around 44, I think.
100-mile races?
Uh-huh.
Okay, this one's wrong. So you that 44, that's very impressive. That means you have some experience and absolutely every reason to be a 600 races in a row mentor for Jimmy Dean. You have done Old Dominion six times?
I've done Old Dominion eight times, and five times I've gone under 24 hours.
Wow. Burning River two times. Ultra Achievements, you've done the East Coast Slam in 2005. Three 100-mile races back-to-back in back-to-back weekends in 2007.
Well, in 2007 I did the Massanutten 100. I did the Old Dominion Memorial 100-mile race, and then I did the original Old Dominion, and they were back-to-back-to-back.
Jimmy Dean, you qualify your mentor as well.
Hey, Sniper, weren't you also doing the last great race that were for the sake of this podcast, we're calling the last great race the original six Hundo Challenge.
Uh-huh.
And there's another story there as to why Andy and I are calling it that. But were you not in the LGR back in 2007?
I wasn't. I did meet Andy at Old Dominion that year.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Okay, so Jimmy, tell us, how have you prepared differently for six 100 miles versus an A race, say your Angeles Crest or Western States? If you were just hitting that one race, how have you approached this differently than one key 100-mile event?
Are we talking about how I had planned to prepare or how the preparation actually went?
Yeah, let's go with planned. Let's go with best case scenario, and then you can tell us, quote unquote, the catastrophe, if there is one, because I don't know the story yet.
Well, the plan was to do a very slow ramp and a long base period.
That's a good plan.
My last ultra race was back the first weekend of February, and I DNF'd the Sean O'Brien 50-miler. Which we hope is a good omen because last year I DNF'd a early season February 50 miler and I finished all of the hundreds that I ran.
Hey Jimmy, can I ask you to pause for a second and tell me how you mentally dealt with DNFing a 50-mile run when you know ahead of you in the summer you have 6 100 miles? Did that cause a psychological barrier or an obstacle?
It was a wake-up call for sure. I thought I was more fit than I was, and that could be a problem coming into a 6 100-mile race series.
You think?
Yeah. Overconfidence is been a long-term problem of mine. You know, I'm not high on ability and, often I'm not high on training, but man, am I high on confidence. So
we're just playing high.
Yeah.
Hey, David, how far in a 100-mile race will confidence get you?
Depending on the course and how motivated you are, sometimes it can get you a long way. Sometimes you might only get to about a 50K mark.
All right, Jimmy, that's just that's from your mentor. So everything that he's speaking about now should be something, if you haven't already covered with him, you take mental notes.
Well, here's the thing, Dave, if you hear anything in my planned training that you don't like, let me know and I'll fix it.
It's a bit late, Jimmy.
I'll go out tomorrow and I will train. So the idea was to do a slow ramp. Zone one training, you know, was doing the low heart rate stuff for a long period of time. Got on a really good diet and got into some strength training and had a personal trainer who has a great running background. And she worked with me on a lot of my strength imbalances that were causing some back problems and some piriformis and hip flexor pain. So the idea was to bring balance to this training program and to not ramp into it too fast, because if you ramp fast, you peak soon, and that peak doesn't last. So the idea was to ramp slowly so that I could hypothetically maintain a peak for 2 to 2.5 months and also not go into this first race in peak shape.
Have you ever ramped slowly before? And I don't mean that to be just trying to be funny about that. Have you ever approached endurance racing like you've approached this year?
Yes. I normally only run 1 or 200-mile races a year. So I usually do a full-scale periodization with a long base. Exception to that would be last year. I think I trained for about 4 to 6 weeks to do AC and Leadville. And in terms of training for that amount of time, I'm talking about focused, like ramping up training. You know, I'll probably fall out of bed and do 20 to 30 miles a week, but you know, the ramp this time got 90 miles.
So we'd like to excuse Scott War at this point, as he has to go earn a living for his family and provide. So he has stepped onto the job and off the trail, so to speak. And Jimmy, that leaves us to discuss Old Dominion. Is this a race you've done in the past?
It is not. It'll be my first East Coast 100-mile race. There's two in this series. Vermont and Old Dominion are the East Coast gems. And there's two in California with Angeles Crest and Western States. And then there's two in the middle, the Rocky Mountain region, Utah and Colorado. So I'm excited for this first East Coast trip to run 100 miles.
Well, you know, this is a wonderful opportunity to see some of the classic races, and that's got to be exciting enough to prepare and motivate you, because there needs to be motivation to run 100 miles. You've got to have that component. It's as important as fitness. You have to have that motivation. So you've run this, David. You've run Old Dominion several times. What can Jimmy expect? What's he going to be confronted? What's the Old Dominion bring?
Well, the Old Dominion race, it's really old school. You know, the first time I did it was in 2005, and it hasn't changed much in the 30-plus years that they've been putting it on. It's run by a great group of people in Ford Valley, Virginia. It's beautiful views. You've got some rocky trails. You've got some gorgeous country roads, beautiful farms. It's really old school. I think Jimmy will like it. It's challenging, that's for sure. You know, the getting that buckle at the end of the race, you know, if you break 24 hours, it's really special. I really enjoy, you know, running the race.
Now, you bring up 24 hours. Jimmy, you're a sub-24-hour runner. Just to, you know, you've had plenty of silver buckle to justify that and carry that title. How do you go into these 100-mile races? If you targeted each one, you're sub-24, very likely on each one of them on a day that should roll out like it should. How do you address these? Do you challenge yourself for sub-24s or just finishes, or how are you going to approach this?
Well, there's two ways to look at running pace and effort. I'm looking at keeping the effort low and working on maintaining my intake, calories and electrolytes and fluids. All of that said, I also think that running too slow could be detrimental, because you're going to be much longer time on your feet, longer dealing with sleep deprivation and sort of messing with your sleep cycles and your, you know, hypothalamus. So I'm going to find somewhere between, you know, what I think I could do as an A-level effort and dialing it way back. And I kind of look at each race and have kind of an idea, like an A, B, and C. If the day goes really well, if the day goes not so well, if the day goes horribly. And I've slotted myself for each race. And one of my sub goals for this is to finish all six in less than 6 days. So I don't think I'm going to be able to go sub 24 at six of them, but I might be able to average sub 24 for six.
Oh,
of them.
I like that goal. Now, the Old Dominion, I want to get back to that if I may. Are we talking, what's the profile look like? Are you doing any hill climbing? What is he confronted with? And I know we could go online and look at it, and half the people already have run it that are listening and probably are shaking their head saying, why would you ask that question? But for the 50% of us that couldn't take a napkin and draw the profile of this run, what are we looking at, David?
You've got three or four major climbs. You know, when you get to mile 75, that's really the big climb. It's a tricky trail at that point. It's tough. A lot of the course is on gravel roads, so you've got good footing. You know, it's just one of those races where you just have to keep pushing and pushing and pushing to get to the finish line.
And how about humidity? Because I know the East Coast has a bit more humidity than Jimmy, who's hanging out over by on the West Coast with the nice ocean breeze.
Yeah, I think for Jimmy and Andy, that's going to be one of the big issues for them, for Old Dominion and for Vermont. The humidity is going to be a factor. You know, so hopefully, as long as they stay hydrated and stay on top of their nutrition, I think they'll be fine. But, you know, it will affect them a little bit.
What kind of temperatures are we looking at this weekend for them?
I looked the other day. I think it's supposed to be around 80 degrees during the day. And it's going to be humid. It's been humid here in Mechanicsville the last couple of days, but I'm about 2.5 hours away.
Now, Jimmy, I looked on the charts, and 80 degrees on the East Coast is equivalent to 163 degrees on the West Coast.
Great. Considering I've raced in 170, we're good.
All right. Yeah, you've done bad water, so you're not afraid of heat, and you know how to deal with it.
We'll see. Humidity is a different kind of animal, and I have a tremendous amount of respect for this course that I have no idea of anything about, and the humidity. You know, I've raced in humidity before, but nothing like I'm going to face this weekend. So,
You know, so one of the fun things about never being on a course is that there's surprise around every corner, and you don't have those familiar, oh, this is the long spot, this is the grind, and I've trained on this, you know, multiple times, and I just know if I can get through Sandy Bottom on this particular part of the course or whatever it might be. And it's fun to go into a brand new place that you've never set foot on. So I think that will, you can use that to your advantage.
Well, I'm excited for the place that they call Sherman's Gap or Sherman's Gulch.
Sherman's Gap.
So that's the place that people have warned me about.
Gap, Gulch, I don't know. I don't know the distinction between the two, but whatever it is, John, I hope that you skip through it.
It's the Chantry Flats of this race where you're at mile 75 staring down the biggest climb of the day.
Oh, I have some wood chip markings still on my face from lying on Chantry Flats Hill. Absolutely. There's nothing flat about it. Okay, well, Jimmy, here's what we're going to do. We're going to follow you through this quest. We're going to be eager spectators as we learn from your mistakes and become better runners ourselves. We're absolutely going to follow along and look for your success and want to be with you virtually as you're on the trail to support you.
Fantastic. I will make sure to make some mistakes so that we have something to talk about.
David, I'm counting on you. David, are you going to be running this weekend as well?
I won't be running this weekend. I'll be crewing for Andy, and then I'll be moving around the course. I'll see Jimmy and all the other runners out there.
Okay, so what we need to do is make sure we get a hold of your notes so you can hold Jimmy accountable for catastrophe, because not that Jimmy is one not to share a catastrophe, but many times catastrophe has a way of we forget about it. They get past us because we're so busy doing other things we don't recognize all the tragedy.
I'm hoping that Jimmy and Andy read my course narrative and looked at the map. If they did that, I think they'll be really fine.
What if we didn't?
Well, <It's> not... you might have something to talk about the next time.
It's not too late.
Where did you send it? I have to find it.
I'll send it to you again.
I think Jenny 386 has it. sweet Jenny.
Sweet Jenny 386.
You can look her up on Skype. Hey, let's. I don't know. We're probably in trouble for saying that. Hey, let's. she's in the directory. It's public domain. So Jimmy, let's make sure we get this out before the weekend. I'm gonna prep this now so that we are timely following you, because there's nothing like someone rooting for you after the event happens. So we'll get this out before so people can listen to it and root for you there. And then we'll schedule a follow-up so things are fresh in your mind and we can catch up on what's happened.
Kate will be updating my coach Jimmy Dean Twitter. And the hashtag is 06HC, like Original 6 Hundo Challenge. And she will be posting updates on me and Andy Kameda throughout the event.
And have her copy at We Are Nation us on Twitter, if she would, and we'll make sure we blast that out as well. We'd like to do that, and we'll link all of your contacts there on this podcast release, certainly. And David Snipes, if we want to find you, what's your Twitter address, Facebook? How do you exist in this social media world?
I'm not on Twitter, but I am on Facebook. If you look up David Allen Snipes, you can find me there.
Are you accepting friend requests, David?
I am.
You need some more Facebook friends?
I do.
I think I might have passed one today on the trail, didn't realize it was an official Facebook friend. I'd like to apologize to that person. I just was not Facebook friendly enough on that encounter. But I did say hello as a good trail runner, but didn't recognize we also had an additional item in common, which is we're Facebook related. So, Jimmy, have a great race. Old Dominion is going to be a newfound friend of yours, especially for a 24-hour period. And I just hope that all goes perfectly as planned and can't wait to follow you. And we'll make sure that we post your progress on Twitter.
I'll make sure to get him out of the aid stations.
Yeah, there you go. Because I'm looking at a picture right now on his Skype image, and it's the perfect image. Jimmy is in a chair. his knees and his elbows together, his head held in his hands, looking straight down. And I believe you shared with me, this is your mom, and she has both of her hands on your shoulders. You have about three people all around you looking to assist you in any way they can, but they're not sure where to go or what to do because you haven't given them direction. And that, sir, is an ultra runner.
Don, that was the race that you paced me.
you know, I didn't do a very good job pacing you, did I?
That was the same aid station where we came in and came out, and you're like, wow, you've got like a NASCAR pit crew. You had one person on all four limbs.
It was amazing. You had a sock change, a shoe change. You had people rubbing your back with ice. You had everything happening, and you had two different drinks in front of you. It was the most. I think you had a pedicure as well. I think they went and trimmed a few of your nails that may have grown slightly during the race. So, Jimmy, if anybody knows how to crew, I'm not worried about that part of your race.
Yeah, my lovely wife Kate will be flying out here to Virginia tomorrow, and Sim Dulay, a guy that I coached in L.A., a member of the Coyotes, has moved home to Virginia, so he'll be coming out to crew. And you're not allowed pacers at Old Dominion. It's an important thing to know that we discovered rather recently. But you can have a safety runner during the MMT portion of the course from 75 to 86. Sim will be my safety runner to make sure that I'm safely passing from 75 to 86.
What is the catastrophe that happens there? Is that where the gulch or the gap is?
That's Sherman's Gap.
Sherman's Gap, and then you travel onto the Massanutten Mountain Trail section of the course. The more difficult.
What's the safety issue? Are there natives there that are trying to hunt you down, or what happens in that gap?
For the most part, most people travel that section between 75 and 86 at night. And it's a really rocky technical trail. I can't even think of any part of Angeles Crest that's as technical as this section is.
We can make something up at this point.
it's just really tough. The last pitch, the last half mile going up Sherman Gap, it's probably a 30 to 40 degree angle.
Okay, you win. So good. Get a safety runner, Jimmy. All right, Jimmy, as promised, part three of our each episode is we're going to do a prediction. So we're going to hold you accountable to this prediction. We're ready. Lay it out.
I predict that I will be an official finisher of this race.
Now, Jimmy, we're looking for a bit more than that because, you know, as predictions go, tell me the one item that you're most concerned about. Is it legs, stomach? Give us something just that you know you need to take very careful precautions so you don't fall into that gap.
Hydration and electrolytes, but more importantly, body temperature. Like the humidity, you can't sweat much. You're not going to sweat as efficiently. So I'm concerned about what effect the heat will have on my body because I have had heat stress at the end of a 100-mile race before and thrown up and dry heaved for the final 20 miles. So.
Okay. So for the record, it is official finisher, and we're concerned about electrolyte hydration because of humidity and the body's response to the heat. So
I'll give you a time. I'm gonna finish in 1949.
Mm. Oh my! Oh, I wasn't even asking for that, but that's it's record now. The GarageBand has it solidified. So we will watch that happen and follow you closely. Now go out in Old Dominion.
Mas.